Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I want to say I'm very thankful for people of God. It's a real joy to me to always be with you folks. God made it to be that way. I think of passages of scriptures that teaches the unity and the blessings of a group. Someone said in here, it's not scripture, but someone said in here yesterday that many hands make light work, which is true. But there's a lot of other scriptures that go along with that. I think of if one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. And I suppose that goes up as the number increases. There was passages of scriptures that teach us that if we go alone and fall, we'd be better off to have two, and one can pick you, and one can pick the other one back up. And surely God has placed us into a body that when we need encouragement, there's an encouragement. When we need a helping hand, there'll be a helping hand. It's important to have that. But there is a downside to this that I want to look at today. You can get lost in the herd. There is a such thing as deferring responsibilities. And the larger the group gets, the larger you take in, the more likely it is to defer to something else. If the group gets big enough, there's always someone will pray. Someone will preach. Someone will visit someone. Someone will talk to someone that needs to be talked to. And if we're not careful, you can get lost in that. Or maybe I should even say you'll lose yourself. You'll lose yourself in there. And sometimes the very structure and the personalities of people kind of play into this. It very well can. We should shun the more charismatic personalities that want to exert themselves. Nothing wrong with that in itself, but there's just too many people that's willing to put the one that's willing to do it up till they'll do it. At the detriment of my own experience in the Lord, I really believe that the Lord wants us to be cohesive. He wants us to be knit together in love, but He does not want us to lose our personal responsibility to that group and what we can bring to it. We're not to come as just a feeder, someone that wants to feed off of the labors of everyone else in this. It doesn't work that way. The scripture, not maybe particularly pertaining to this, but it says to go to the ant for some instruction, thou sluggard. Go look and see. Does any particular ant not have a duty that is useful to the whole? None of them sets back and lets the queen is doing all this but she's doing all the laborious things. They're all containing to the benefit of the whole. There's no ones in there just being fed, No, they all have a duty and something to give to the whole. And the point or the thing that I really want to express here is that everyone has that place in the body. God wants a personal relationship with each one of us that is working and active in every one of us that we bring to it. And to just sat back, I don't want to shun my duties or the role that I have, but sometimes it perplexes me for someone to say about situations that I'm totally removed from, well, let's get the preacher to answer that question. Well, I, that thank you for that compliment that you think I might have something there, but it's not just for the preacher to have the answers to things. I mean, there's growing and everything in that involved, but that's not what the Lord wants us to be and to have. And sometimes if there's a number of people doing it, people with real gifts and talents for singing, praying, works and labors and stuff will defer them in the group to say, someone else, do I want to get somebody that's more qualified? If it's a real serious enough question, then we're going to say, Brother Michael wrote on that. Let's get Brother Michael where's Brother Ed? Where's Brother Ed? Maybe he knows something about this. That's not really what the Lord really wants in these times. The Lord wants us to be have a relationship with Him that we bring to the herd, that we bring to the congregation. That's what the Lord really wants. He doesn't want any of us to just sit and being relying on. Or just say, I can always have my pastor. Do you know that I would be willing to say this, and I hope this is accurate. I really hope this is accurate. I don't think any ministers among us wants you to just be confident and just depend on our prayers alone. I know if somebody's been in this position, the highest compliment that can be paid to my ministry is that somebody that I've been ministering to can pray for themselves and get an answer from God Himself. I can say praise the Lord to that. It's hitting home. It's working the way it's supposed to be working. When somebody can stand up and testify to the testimony that God worked in my life this week. When somebody stands up and says, the Lord talked to me. It don't have to be, well, I get it from Sunday morning service when Brother Marty preaches. No, I want to hear the testimonies. What the Lord tell you? What's the Lord saying to you? It's more than just, I thank God for all of you, honestly. I thank God for everyone. I thank God for the gifts that you have. But I really believe that a lot of the gifts go undone because of the idea that somebody will do it somewhere. You know, this is more, these things that the Lord does, He does them for you. It needs to be expressed. It brings a dynamic to your experience, to your life. So I want to explore it a little bit today. I'd like to start with a passage in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. It's a very familiar story here. I'll start with the second verse. It says, and Saul, this is 1 Samuel 17th chapter, second verse, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain, one on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So that's pretty descriptive, right? You got an army, the Philistines have come in, and they're on the high point here, and Israel is on the high point here, and here is two armies that going to go against each other, and in the middle is the valley, and obviously, to the minds of everybody, there's going to be a battle down here. This is where it's at. Now, I want us to think about the idea of this, because maybe there's some information that would say this, but let's just assume that there's 100,000 men faced off against each other, 100,000 and 100,000, and within that, I don't know how you feel. I feel pretty good having these guys around me. I mean, it wouldn't be as challenging. I mean, I know that it could be fearful battle itself, and it's a great army in there, but I've got all of this around me. What are my responsibilities? Well, when they shout the bugle, I'll run and shout and I'll swing my sword and I'm not responsible for killing everybody down there, and I don't have to show up, and when it's all done, if I back up a few steps or back something, nobody's going to notice anything that's going on. Just a part of a just part of a system here, and I'm faithful? Brother, I'm faithful. When they called up, I went. Yes, sir, I'm ready for duty. Marched up there, I'm ready to be a part of this. I'm ready to be a part. As long as I can only be the part. If I can be the part within this, I want to be the part. Faithfully executing, going and doing it. Standing in my position, doing all those things. But something amazing, I'm going to read all this because we know the story. But something amazing happens now. All of a sudden, this is the dynamics of it. And there's a, say, 100,000 individual men. Individual men. Every one of them with an experience. Every one of them with fears. Every one of them with the courages, every one of them with their abilities, every one of them, all the individual ones, were all gathered there like that. And now, here comes a challenge. Oh, did you ever think about what this means? It wasn't the whole army of the Philistines saying, Israel, come on. That's what they were there for. No, this defines it different. Out stands, steps this giant, and he doesn't challenge the armies to come down. He challenges every individual. Every one of them. They all of a sudden became separated in their minds, in their hearts, because he pointed to one man. One man. Is there one man? Send me. You. All of a sudden now, instead of looking at the armies of Israel, all of a sudden it come introspective. Introspective. Am I the man? Every one of them, when they was challenging, I think that if it had been a challenge to war, I mean, that's what they went up there for. They would have battled. But all of a sudden, here comes out somebody and says, who are you? What do you believe? We know what you claim, but what do you, send me somebody that proves what they say. Send me somebody to battle with. All of a sudden it didn't become, what are we all going to do? I hope this relates to you some, because this is related to me, because all of the times that I got into these places, I appreciate you all. Every card, every prayer, everything. But I relate to the times to where I stood in front of my giant. And him challenging. He wasn't challenging everybody. He was a challenging my faith. What do you believe? What are you going to stand on here, right here in this time? And there I stand, and I love all of you. But none of you can touch me. I needed something. I had to have something. I had to have something that you can't bring. I know you can petition it for me. You can help me with it that way. But I stood there to battle it alone. And to me, this is what this scene sets. And God, I want to tell you something. This didn't sneak up on God. God put this in there. God allowed this to happen. God let there be a giant be born and grow up and become a man of war. God allowed all this to happen. He allowed them to come at this particular time and place to say to these men of Israel, I want men. I want people, I want God, people to trust in me and live for me. I want somebody, I want more than in just this nation. I want the nation, but I want more than that. I don't want you to come out here just in this. I want you to come out with every individual soldier coming out here saying, by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going into battle by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to go in there by the Spirit. Can you imagine what the difference may have been in this if the story would have said that there was 100,000 Davids? I know we're always going to have that, and I'm thankful for all of the works of the Lord. But could you imagine if there would have been 100 Davids? There wasn't. It was only one. And the story goes that there was a there was a ruddy youth that was separated out of the group. And he was put into a place that there was nobody there to help him. And along come a lion and a bear. And he couldn't call on his brothers. And he couldn't call on the army. He couldn't call on anything but the Lord. He called on the Lord. And the Lord helped him. And I think he even said he grabbed it by the beard and he smoked that lion. And he done it and he saw the Lord in that as an individual. He brought something when he came. He brought a faith in God that all of his graders, all of his betters, all of those that were over him, all of those that were in the army and he wasn't, all of those that were, all of them that should have been in the place, none of them were. They had all given in to this idea of being a good member of a group. Folks, it ain't about being just a good member of the group. It's about having faith in God. It's about having a relationship with the Lord. Do you know, no matter what happens, God is with me in this. God has made promises. I thank the Lord for the Lord's promises. So many things in my life that I can fall back on because the Lord gave that to me. And at times, and I told somebody just recently, I think I told Brother Tony and Sister Lissette this last night, but just recently we had some issues, some health issues in the family, and I can get worried, I'm getting, you know, how things can happen like that. And I felt like that the Lord brought this scripture to me that we use over and over. Oh, we use this scripture. Romans 8:28. Every time I ever got in a battle, people send me cards. Romans 8:28. I want to remind you. Well, the Lord reminded me of this scripture in a way that nobody else could remind me. God gave me this scripture, and when he gave it to me, he gave me the memorization. He gave me the incidences in my life where he did it. And it came in all at one time as this almost a memorial. Wow, God said all things work together for good, and here it is. And it was, you couldn't do that. You can say the verse, but you can't. And he done that, and at the same moment, he said, I've got this one. Do you know I have absolutely been at peace and have stood on that ever since the Lord gave it to me? He's got this one. I by faith can go ahead and look beyond this at whatever good that the Lord has for me. It's there. The promise is there. You don't get that in the herd. You got to get that one from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you a bold prediction. There's going to be a giant that's going to stand up somewhere and is going to show whether or not you really have it or not. That giant is always there waiting. He's ready to stand up and say, come fight if you can. Well, in this story, we know the story. David's there and he comes up. He didn't come for the fight. He came because it's what he was supposed to do. His father sends him up there. He goes up there. He sees them in array, and Goliath comes out like he had been coming out. And he come out and he said the words that he said, come send me a man down to fight with me. What are you? Is this the army of Saul? Is this the army of the living God? Come down here. Send me a man. If you claim things, send me down. If you can beat me, we'll serve you. If I beat you, we'll serve you. It's an easy enough plan. All these people don't have to die. Just so one man come down here. And everybody backs up individually. Individually, every man had to look at his own self. Can I do it? Can I fight? No, I can't. I will. I don't have it. And David comes up there after the lion and the bear and the time and he had the Lord with him. He comes up there and no wonder he made them all angry. He made his fellow man angry. Folks, it's just natural that it happens that way. Who does he think he is coming up here? Isn't it true? Who is he? And he didn't look at his size. He didn't look at Goliath's size. He didn't look at the particulars. His faith was in the God that had delivered him from a lion and a bear. He had a personal experience that kept growing and growing and growing. And he gets there and says, God has sent me here for this moment. Here it is. I'll go down there and fight him. Even Saul said, bring him. Who is that talking about? What you talking about? But yet Saul didn't keep him from going, did he? You know what have been? It would have been wonderful, though, that if there had been enough men in that army to have said, when he said that, if they had jumped out there and said, hey, King, I'm ready, I'm gone. God's been helping me. And all a bunch of them said there, and somebody said, yeah, who's the biggest one of us? And everybody said, no, let's send the littlest one. Let's let God be glorified here in this. God has brought this to this moment, and God's going to deliver in this place. There'll be something stand up in our lives to say whether or not we just go to church on Sundays. There's going to be something that's going to stand up and really challenge us to whether I'm there or I'm not there. I'll look at another scripture over in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 3:11, I'll start. For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we can build, you can have your testimonies, you can be a faithful, and well, we should. We can do all those things, but this scripture says, hang on, brother. Because there's going to be a fire lit. There's going to be a fire come. And the fire is going to start working on what you're doing. And then it's going to show out to everybody. Everybody's going to know whether this is made of the true thing or not the true thing. If we only hide ourselves within the system, there's still going to be a fire. There's still going to be something that says, I'm going to have to say, can I take on this giant in my life? Am I willing to stand up for this? I like to encourage everyone that names the name of Christ to start allowing the Lord to be personal to them and let the Lord lead them. I can assure you this, you have a place in the body. Absolutely, you have a gifted place in the body. And it will work for you, and you will be a blessing and encouragement. Not everybody sings, not everybody preaches, but everybody does something. Everybody has a part, and you can know that God's with you in those parts. God does speak to our hearts. God does help us in these kind of things. And we can get to the place, and I want to say this about Goliath. Goliath came up and found a whole army full of unprepared men. And God sent one prepared young man. And he was prepared line upon line. He was prepared in the things of his life. I don't presume to say that everything is expressed in the scriptures. And I will take a little liberty to say just because David said about the lion and the bear didn't mean that he didn't start with the fox and the skunk or whatever it was. He had worked and built himself up into a level of faith that he had in God, that God was able to help him. I don't know that I'll ever be a songwriter, but somebody should be. I don't think that I have to be the one that write articles, but somebody should be doing it. There is somebody that has the gifts to do that. You may not have the gift, and God give you the gift to be able to stand up and preach. He may not anoint that, but he's going to anoint what you do. He will anoint what you do. Until you have the experience with the Lord, I know I can do this because the Lord anoints it. If you all only knew how in the flesh I shudder with every duty I do. But over the years I've learned that when I can't, He can. And I'll do some of the thing and think I can't do this and do this. And all of a sudden, whether it's a funeral or a wedding or something, all of a sudden the Lord opens up and He inspires a few words. And it's a gift that God gives. And the reason I can do it is because I've done it. I've seen the Lord in it. And now I can stand up. I want to be honest with you. I feared to do it. But I can stand up with nothing now. Because I have. And the Lord puts it in when you get here. And why can't I go ahead and make the steps? Because He's a faithful God. And if He says move, He's got a point. He's got something to do. So in this it says that your work, what you're building on Christ, there's going to be a fire come. You know, you can't burn up gold. You can heat it and heat it and heat it, but it don't. You can heat stubble and you'll burn it up to ashes. But you heat gold up, it's just going to purify itself more and more. You don't. And this is what this is talking about. There's going to be a fire come. Job was a man that God testified about. And you remember the story, but God ended up allowing the situations to come into Job's life. And I want to say this. Job was not just a member of a human herd. Job was not just someone that relied on the giftings of others. Job was someone that had a connection to God, and he made sacrifice to God, and he gave his heart to God, and he was somebody that had a substance for himself from God. And God allowed the enemy to come in, and we'll look at that sometime and say, why would God do that? God knows what He's doing. And He allowed the enemy to come in and build a fire under Job. And he started burning on Job. Job wasn't destroyed. The fire made manifest. It started burning out. And he had it in there. And he said at the end of it, I have come forth as pure gold. The fire burned some of these other elements out. He loved the Lord. Do you know someone that hadn't have had that could have been burned up? People that only had the group experience in that come, they could have said, I give up, I quit, it ain't worth it. Why would God torment me like this? Why would God allow these things to happen to me? But Job had something more than that. That's why it's so important to bring what you got and build on what you got in the Lord. I appreciate you all. I ain't diminishing, and you know this. I am not diminishing what God gave us for encouragement and edifying and all that. God gave a system of that. But that, too, is to edify and to build up the individual. We come collectively as individuals that love God, that give our hearts and lives to God. And then it makes a fuller life. And you can glean some things from me, and I can glean some things from you. But the scripture that says that about two going, if one goes and falls, well, what if you're going with someone that can't pick you up? I mean, you might say, well, I'm supposed to go with two, so I'm going to go with this guy, and you fall, and he's like, I can't pick you up. Ain't nothing I can do for you. Or you go along, and I say, brother, I'm in a need. Pray for me. And he says, I ain't prayed in weeks. I don't know. What do you want me to pray? What do you want to say? See, there's a reason. It's got to be more than that. We can't just be apart. We can't just assume ourselves. I want to say this, and you all know my meaning. I just can't say, well, I'm a member of the Church of God. Well, if you truly are born again, that's the steps. It's so much more than saying I'm a member. That's what the world does. I'm a member of this or I'm a member of that. See, in the obituaries, they was a member of this and they was a member of that. Doesn't say anything. Do they have the reality? Do they hear the Lord speak to them? Do they have the relationship with the Lord that the Lord wants when the Lord spoke to them and said, depart from me, I never knew you. Or when he spoke to those that said, did I not cast out devils in thy name? Did I not do all these works? He said, I never knew you. He didn't say, you're a part of a crowd. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, you're good to go. No, he looked at them from the individual place. I spoke to you. And again, even the scripture that says, about, what is that, Matthew 25, 37, something like that. It talks about when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. Well, when did I do that? Well, you did it when you gave your money and the church went down there on Wednesday night. No, that's not what the Lord wants. When you cared, when you got the blessing. Do you know where this is not from a selfish motive? I want to tell you, this is not from a selfish motive when I say it's better to give than receive. The Bible says that, and it is. And God, there is blessings. There is blessings that you can't get. You got to make yourself a part of God. I want to look at one other passage in Isaiah 6th chapter. Fifth verse. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? This came after the coals. It came after the coals. It's very important. It came after the pole. Then he heard the voice that said, who will go? And now here's the answer. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Now, I don't mean to sound critical. And there's, I'll say how I work. If someone, I go by invitation or inspiration. I keep that in my mind always. And if someone comes to me and says, somebody needs visit or somebody like that, if they personally invite me, I go. If somebody says, Brother Marty, I want you to help me, I'll go. That's an invitation and I'll go. And if it's not my personal invitation, I need inspiration. And if I don't get it, then don't go. Because I'm not anything in myself. I need the Lord to do it. And what amazes me is that there's not just one person can do that. You. That is not some kind of a thing that a preacher keeps in his notebook. That is something for everybody to do. We're all to have the answer. Somebody come up and say, hey, Brother Murray, somebody was asking me about being saved, so I called you. Okay. Glad to go and do it. But my heart would have rejoiced if you could have done it. If my heart would have rejoiced if the person that I ministered to and we've been there, and if you had it. If you had it all to say, I've got a testimony I've got to give you, brother. God saved me, and I want to tell you about it. It's not enough to be a part of a group. You've got to be hooked to Christ. Jesus said, if you, it's over there in John with the vine, the 15th of St. John, about being hooked to the vine. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And instead, though, if you can imagine an army and a giant comes out there and he looks fierce. He looks like he's there's no defeat in him. And you look at it and you have all these men saying to King Saul, "Here I am. Send me. I'll go for the cause of God. God has worked with me, and I've slain my giants, and I've got my victories, and I got the inspiration of the Holy Ghost on me. Send me. I can go down there and take him on." Just in closing, I think about Peter. Peter said to the Lord, "Though all of these guys will reject you, I'll never will." I think he meant that. He wasn't going to deny. He didn't think he could deny the Lord. I think he was charged. I think he had he loved the Lord. He was totally in on the cause. And I think that he really felt like that he was going to be able to perform that which he desired. And he, at that moment in time, have you all ever felt this where you got these battles and stuff and you go to a good camp meeting and all of a sudden you get charged up and it's almost like you're ready to challenge the devil? I'll take on anything. I'm flying. I can't wait to go get in that battle. And then Monday morning you take off home and the devil attacks you and you're ready to shrink and enter back. Peter thought he knew himself. And he made a proclamation. And he failed. And I want to tell you something. Failures in this thing is not to be the end all. Failures many times is some, well, if I can say it and you all understand me, I wouldn't want that any, I'd fail or anybody would fail. But I want to say it the way it really is. Sometimes it's necessary to open it up. To see what it is to see yourself when you think you're something you're not. When you think you got a power that you don't have. Or you think you're self-sufficient of some way. Peter thought that he had a self-sufficiency about himself and that it couldn't change. He should have said to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, my desire is to serve you and not deny you. And if you'll help me, by the grace of God, I'll stand with you." It wasn't the will of God that there was anybody else with him. Jesus was to tread the winepress alone. He was going to go and do it alone. But Peter thought that he could, and he made the mistake of thinking that, do you know that's where we get to if we don't really have the experience of the Lord? Allow the Lord to work with you individually. Allow the Lord. Don't allow the idea of being a part of the church of God soothe you outside of your deficiencies. It doesn't work. The Lord wants to bring us to the knowledge of Him. He wants us to be like He is. He wants us to have the same heart and mind that He has. And he wants to work on that and deal with that and works with that. And you know what comes out of that? What comes out of that is a love for God that sets the basis. It's the foundation when we can say, "I love the Lord enough to do whatever he wants me to do." Then God can call you to any various thing. "I will go, Lord, send me." I'll be honest with you. I didn't call myself to preach. I did not, and I never would have. I'd have been more content to just allow somebody else to do it and sat without pressure or anything and sat and listened and talked. I'd have been more than pleased to have done that, but I couldn't go on with the Lord when he called me. I told the Lord, "You saved me." I told the Lord, the night he said, I said, "If you save me, I will do whatever you want me to do." And I kept it. So when the Lord started calling that way, I had to say. You know, there's a scripture that said, "By the foolish of preaching." I said, "Boy, Lord, you named that right. That is exactly the way I feel." And I had to get to the point to say, "Lord, I will be a fool for you. If I have to be a fool for you, I'll be a fool for you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do in this. It becomes individual. It comes to personal. And I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that I deal with the Lord if I'm all by myself. The pressures of other people doesn't seem much. The idea of nobody being around, I can do whatever I want to, doesn't affect me either. Because it's to the Lord. It's about the Lord. It isn't about all these other things. And then that means, my Lord, if you inspire me to go, if you'll instruct me to go, if you'll help me to go, I'll go fight Goliath. I'll go fight him. If you'll help me, there can be victory. I want to encourage us here today. Have a relationship with the Lord that you can know for yourself. And you can testify on them Wednesday nights. See, what I long for, and again, there is no minister among us that prays so good that he thinks he ought to pray all the time. As a matter of fact, every minister in here, I can assure you, has a real joyful heart when one of the members in the congregation that don't normally pray, when they pray, even if they think they stumble over their words, he rejoices. Because we want that to be in practice. And I want to say this too. I feel like a lot of people's got the gift of singing, don't sing. Well, we'll leave somebody out. Well, there's this group. Let's leave it to the young people. Okay. Well, maybe leave preaching to them too. Not really. I'm just going to prove a point. We all have a duty. If you have a calling and a ministry, you won't be fulfilled and blessed as much as you should be if you don't fulfill it. And if you don't express and see, if you're wondering why ain't the Lord more active in my life and you've not been taking care of your gift, then you didn't hear the Lord say, sing this song, and then all of a sudden it matches with the message like that, and you say, the Lord inspired that to me in the middle of the night. He inspired to you because you wasn't going to sing it anyway. See what I'm saying? The actions, the giving of that, being a part of that. It's what we bring to the collective group. There may be one day that something happened that you won't be able to be in the congregation, or you won't be able to do what you normally done. The Lord's there. The Lord's there. The Lord will still be faithful in those times. You pray for me, I want to be faithful.